stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Zach's editor, Maddie Johnson, to discuss the hot topic on Wall Street right now, basically disruption in the food industry. Everybody's talking about it, the Amazon and Whole Foods merger, but how can you invest to take advantage of changes that are going to happen in this area? Because they definitely are going to happen with Amazon buying up what is its biggest brick and mortar acquisition ever. And what's going on with all of Whole Foods' competitors and who could be next, all this kind of fun stuff. So welcome, Maddie.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
I know. We've been discussing this for like several days ahead of this podcast already. And I'm like, no.
And I love food and I love talking about food.
I know. Well, yeah, who doesn't? Right? I do too. We've not really covered this topic.
I love eating food. So it's just, it's a good combination.
Yeah. And, you know, up until last Friday when this merger was announced, I don't think anyone would want to listen to a podcast about like supermarket chains.
No.
They'd be like, sorry, that's so
sorry,
boring.
Kroger? No,
right.
Thank you.
Right. And even Whole Foods, no. But now this is all anybody wants to talk about. So let me just start by saying, obviously, Amazon is buying Whole Foods for $13.7 billion. It's their largest acquisition ever. They have about $20 billion, $21 billion in cash, so they can afford this, although some of the rating agencies don't like it, and I've already started to downgrade them slightly because of this. But a lot of people were shocked. Amazon trying to get into the brick and mortar. Whole Foods has a little bit over 400 stores, but if you know anything about Whole Foods, you know that most of them are in major cities.
Yes.
Where a lot of Amazon's Prime customers are also located. And they're internationally, too. Like, they have Whole Foods in Prime neighborhoods in, say, like, London.
The Whole Foods in London is amazing.
See? Yeah. See, you know about it. I know about it. Celebrities, like, shop there. So, suddenly, Amazon can get basically what amounts to distribution centers for food in prime neighborhoods,
and
in
also,
addition to their own distribution centers that they already have nearby in major cities.
And I will say coveted food. So coveted, organic, natural food.
Yeah. Now, the diss against Whole Foods, obviously, has been the whole paycheck thing, the cost, as well as they were on the cutting edge when they first began and grew into the organic and the healthy eating kind of market. But now their competitors have caught up. Not only are there other organic supermarket chains out there, but Kroger's and Walmart and Target all carry organic produce now, and a lot of organic products actually at lower costs. So you don't necessarily have the need to seek out the Whole Foods and pay the premium as much as you used to have to do.
Yeah.
So that's been one of the disses against Whole
Walmart's
Foods.
Walmart's organic aisle, if you will, has grown exponentially over the years. So you can, I feel like you can get pretty much what you would need to go to Whole Foods to get out. You could just pick up at Walmart. I will say the produce selection at Whole Foods, top notch.
Yes. I was just going to add, that's outstanding.
It's outstanding. You really
better
can't find
else.
It anywhere else.
Right. Even maybe, for the selection, like the weird things they get there.
Maybe Mariano's here in the Chicago area. I'm not sure where else Mariano's is located.
Yeah.
They have a really good produce selection, fresh, inorganic, natural, that all that, like the weird kind of stuff you might find. But Whole Foods, it's really on another level.
Right. If you need some kind of exotic thing, they basically
and just
have
like
it.
How they lay it out. Like, you just look at it, you're like, oh my God, I could buy everything. I don't care if it's $6 a pound. Give it to me.
That is true. So yeah, there's a lot to like about this merger. But just to go over some of the craziness that has happened since this was announced, suddenly everyone thinks Amazon's going to buy basically every retailer.
Pretty much, yeah.
Every retailer that exists. Although there is the concept that Amazon was started with, that Jeff Bezos wanted to be the everything store.
Yes.
And that's the name of that book that was written about him, which I do recommend. Anyone interested in Amazon needs to read that book.
I do see it on your desk.
Yes. Oh, well, you should take it and read it.
I really should. I do need books
it changed,
for the summer.
It's a couple years old now, but it completely changed my mind about Amazon.
Okay.
I ended up buying the stock after reading that book. because mainly for the cloud and its description of how they started the cloud and all of that. But yeah, everybody who wants to understand Amazon and how they think should get the Everything Store. There's a plug for that book in there.
I'm going to put it on my list. But, and I will buy it at Amazon Books. Another plug for Amazon Books.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bookstore.
Their bookstores that they're opening. Yeah. But I mean, I'm hearing like crazy stuff about, oh, Amazon's going to buy today. The latest one was Restoration Hardware, which I actually also own. And it couldn't be farther apart from each other culturally. Like, there's just no way. Like, I understand people are looking for areas where Amazon
needs
could,
to grow.
Yeah. And could get
expand,
in.
Expand, I guess.
Right. And could get into brick and mortar to get there. Mm-hmm. And furniture is still doing well in brick and mortar. Sure. They are selling online too. But brick and mortar is still where a large percentage of those sales come from. But as we were talking about before I went on the podcast, Ethan Allen has recently entered into a partnership with Amazon to sell its furniture basically on the Amazon site. I believe that they're going to be distributing it from their own warehouses and all of that.
Okay.
So Amazon's just kind of a portal, but that's like one kind of agreement they've gotten into to try to expand into the furniture area. But Amazon itself has even admitted for appliances and things like that, where people want to see it, for whatever reason, we want to see the washing machine, they might have to open up brick and mortar stores to do that.
For appliances. Yeah. Yeah. I've bought small appliances on Amazon, like a coffee maker.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
A toaster.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Small in size, small in ticket price.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, if I'm going to spend $1,000 on a washer and dryer,
yeah,
a refrigerator, I'm going to go to
people
someplace like,
to like
Best Buy, Home Depot, where
yeah,
I need to like look at it, open it up, see all the tiny compartments.
Right. So we're just bringing this up because Amazon is working through all their issues in all these areas, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to rush out,
sure,
after doing the biggest merger of their existence, mm-hmm, and buy up a ton of other things while they're dealing with the synergies and the difficulties of doing this merger. It's not going to be that easy.
Right.
There's thousands of employees involved. Like
we were talking a few days ago, it's going to take years to fully implement.
Yeah.
The
so
acquisition of Whole Foods.
It's nice to wonder, as we are on this podcast, like who could be next. But it's not going to be the furniture guys. So just like, don't look at Pier One, Ethan Allen. Like, no, it's not going to be those guys. But there was a lot of talk the last couple of days about like possibly Grubhub. The ticker
right
there is GRUB. They're headquartered here in Chicago. So I'm kind of familiar with Grubhub. They're the restaurant delivery
Their
service.
App is great.
Right. But Amazon.
It all the time.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows Grubhub, but Amazon already runs Amazon restaurants. Some people might not even be aware of this. You can go on Amazon Prime and see it. They've tried to get into the Grubhub mm-hmm business. It's really not working because Grubhub kind of has
it's
a corner.
Really dominates.
Yeah. They have the list of restaurants that we all go to, and that's why we go and use it there. And Amazon restaurants just isn't getting a toehold. So that could be the reason, hey, they want to buy them. But Grubhub isn't a small company. It would cost, I think, $3 or $4 billion at least to buy them out. And again, they're doing a $13 billion acquisition
sure
right now.
And like so, you said, they don't have that much. They don't have as much cash as people
right
think.
No, no. They're not Google, Microsoft, Apple. They've only recently started to add to their cash hoard because of the cloud. So before everyone gets ahead of themselves, you know, it's good, again, to think of these issues. And that's why this merger could be very disruptive in the industry. But I don't think Grub is going anywhere right now either.
No.
So, but it's one to keep on your list if you kind of like the food area. Now, let's talk about one of the other big areas it was going to impact, which is the upcoming IPO of Blue Apron.
Yes.
We've wanted to discuss this for a while. We were kind of waiting for them to go IPO to discuss Blue Apron, mm-hmm, but they now have a ticker, so now we can discuss it. And it's so relevant now. Their ticker is going to be APRN. They actually raised their price target for the IPO to between $15 and $17, and they were only going to initially go kind of small and raise $100 million, but now they're trying to raise $500 million. But the thing with Blue Apron, you use it, use the service.
I do.
And I don't, so I don't have any actual personal experience using it. But a couple things I don't like about it. Well, let me just say what it is. So Blue Apron delivers the food items with a recipe and allows you to cook like a meal, basically.
Yes.
And so they have two-person plans, they have family plans, and it starts at about $8.99 for like one serving, right? Like one.
Or about, it's about.
One person.
$60 for the box.
Yeah.
So when I do it for like the two person.
Yeah. That's two person three box. Meals for two people.
For a week. Yeah.
It's $59.94.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so interesting. 94.
Yeah.
So that's kind of their key marketing. And apparently they will sell you wine too.
Mm-hmm. Give you wine, specific wine pairings on okay. the recipe cards.
So that's another area that they can make money. And they've never made money. In 2014, they've lost $30.8 million. By last year, 2016, they were losing $54.9 million. A large part of their cost goes to the advertising. So 2016, they spent $144 million on advertising. And there's a lot of competition in this area. There's a lot of other brands
yes,
that are also doing...
Yes, a ton yeah, of meal kit I know. Delivery companies.
People in certain zip codes, you'll get like these free trial things all the time in the mail.
Yes.
So what someone like Blue Apron has to do is try to lure you in through some other means. And usually it's like, try us for free or have your friend try us and you get it for free. So they said they've been taking a loss on that friend trial promo that they've been doing. And they expect that to continue. They do think the advertising costs are going to get higher, not lower in 2017. Okay. So that's not good. And they expect the losses probably to increase as well. And they don't know when, if ever, they'll be profitable. Yay! Like a company that makes no money. Yet again, here we are. So also one of the things I don't totally like about this IPO, but this happens in a lot of these unicorn IPOs now, is that the CEO, after it goes IPO, will control almost 30% of the voting stock for a company that's making not even a dime of profit yet. So I don't like that. But that's a story for another day because we're just kind of talking about this business model. So a lot of people thought when they heard this merger that Blue Apron was doomed, like that they shouldn't even do the IPO. Instead, they've raised them out and they're still going forward. But like to me, Whole Foods is already doing meal kits. Like you can get a meal kit service through Whole Foods. Not many people know because obviously they're not doing a real good job of marketing this.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they actually already do it. But when they combine with Amazon and Amazon's 1 hour to 2 hour delivery capabilities in major cities, why wouldn't I just order my meal kit through Prime and get it? This is the problem. There's no moat there for Blue Apron or any other business that's in this. And now you have the best deliverer in the country going into your business. So that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Because you actually use it. Like, would you consider, now that I've said that Whole Foods does
it? I mean,
it,
are the meals like ready made? Do you still have to cook them?
Yes. Yes.
Are the vegetables chopped? Do you still have to chop the vegetables?
I don't know about that aspect. I just know they have meal kits.
Okay. So with Blue Apron, you have to do all the prepping, all the chopping and the searing and the cooking and everything.
Right. So the stuff, like the vegetables don't come in those plastic containers like you see at the Whole Foods where like the bell pepper's already chopped up for you.
Right.
It just comes as the bell pepper.
It comes as the bell pepper. But I will say there is one of the things I find a tad annoying about Blue Apron is there's a lot of extraneous packaging. So, okay. So onions and garlic, for example, aren't packaged. They're just like thrown in a box. And the boxes are, there's a ice packs. So there has to be a way to keep the food cool. So there's a big ice packs. But other things like I brought my recipe cards so one of them I got last week was seared steaks in salsa verde with fingerling potatoes, asparagus, and radishes. It was really good, by the way. Shout out to Blue Apron's chefs. It was really good. But three radishes, the recipe called for. The three radishes came in a separate little plastic baggie. So if you need like a quarter cup of vinegar, it'll come in a little plastic jar just for the vinegar. So there's everything is separated out, which is nice when you're trying to figure out like all the ingredients that you need and when you're, you know, making the food. But when you really look at like all of the packaging that it comes in, who's really recycling all of that?
Nobody.
And everything is recyclable.
Saying. Yeah.
Blue Apron makes that clear on its website. But I mean, when you're shipping out 8 million meals to customers every month, how many of those 8 million customers are like actually recycling? So I feel like there is a lot of waste going on. And that makes me a little cautious about the company.
Okay.
But I mean, other than that, most of the recipes that I've made are really delicious.
Okay.
But
have you tried any of the other services? They're competitors?
No, because this is one of the, this is probably the cheapest option.
Okay. So you're swayed by the price.
Swayed by the price. I know HelloFresh is about $10 cheaper a week. Sorry, more expensive a week, not cheaper. But who knows when, if that will change after they go public.
Right.
If they'll have to eat the cost of the IPO and they'll bump up the prices.
Well, yeah, they're going to have more pressure now to actually become profitable at some point.
And I will say, with all of like the prepping, it's like sometimes I'll be in my kitchen for 30 minutes, like chopping vegetables, and you're like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, that's what happens.
But it, like, I also feel like in the end, it's made me a better cook.
Okay.
And I really have enjoyed cooking.
So you do
not necessarily because of Blue Apron, but it's like,
well, you do see a future for meal kits then in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
It seems, all right.
Yeah.
We'll have to watch it.
You can jump in. I also have another point, but I don't want to keep talking.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm rambling.
I'm worried about this IPO still, and I am worried about what Amazon will be able to do to them. Yeah. If they were actually making some money, fine, and taking, you know, market share away from their competitors. I'm not sure they're even able to do that now. As I said earlier, Amazon is going to be their competitor. And that's never pleasant.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, you also have to think about when your food is arriving to you on your doorstep in a box every week. I mean, are people going to lose that sense of where their food is coming from?
Right.
When you just see it packaged to you so perfectly.
Right. They do say that they do.
So.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you buy chicken enough and you get the boneless, you forget that was like a chicken walking around. I know that sounds weird, but I was in a cooking class and I had to actually carve a chicken.
And
it was
debone it.
Yeah, it was actually defeathered already, but we had to hold it up like a chicken. All that was missing was its head. And so you did get a sense of like, wait, this was a chicken, but you forget that. Like when you just buy the boneless breasts in the plastic every week.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but.
But then on the flip side, it also like, it gives you valuable cooking tips. So for beginning cooks who like know nothing about the kitchen and know nothing about how to chop an onion, like it teaches you, shows you videos on how to do that. So there's definitely helpful ways to like kind of get you more comfortable in the kitchen.
Okay.
So it definitely has value, but then there's also, well, I don't have to go to the farmer's market anymore because all my food's going to come in on Saturday.
Right.
Perfectly there, you know?
I feel like this is like being marketed more towards just like singles or couples. And even though I know they have a family version of it too,
but
it would be super expensive. Really, this brings up another topic of conversation I had with people over the weekend about the Amazon. Costco kind of dominates in the family food shopping.
Absolutely.
I feel. Everyone in my family shops at the Costco. They're in suburban Chicago, so they love it. And I asked them straight out, you know, they were aware of the Amazon Whole Foods news. And I said, well, and they're all Prime members too.
Okay.
And I said, so will you be ordering from Whole Foods now if you can just get it on Prime?
I asked my mom that too.
Yeah. Okay. So my family looked at me like I was nuts and said, no, we love Costco. We're still going to go there and forget it. No, Costco, Costco, Costco. What did yours say?
My mom loves Prime.
Okay.
I'm going to put that out there. She loves it. She's like, why would I shop anywhere else? But she also loves shopping. She worked in retail for years.
Okay.
But she's really getting to love the convenience of having things delivered right to her doorstep through Amazon.
But will she do Whole Foods? Will she
do
food?
No, because there's no Whole Foods. So she lives near Rockford, Illinois.
Okay.
There's no Whole Foods.
Okay.
So the idea of Whole Foods, she's like, no. Like, my parents grocery shop at Walmart and Aldi.
Right.
Because it's cheaper.
Well, it's nearby. Yeah.
It's nearby and it saves them a ton of money on their grocery bill.
Okay. So, yeah, I feel like a lot of people are panicking over Costco. The shares are down almost 6% since the merger news was announced. I consider this to be any kind of big pullback in Costco to be a buying opportunity. If you look at Costco's numbers, their comps in the last quarter were up 6%. That's just in the U.S., up 2% in Canada, which has been kind of recessionary. So that's still good. They were up 4% in other international markets. Overall, they were up 5%. This is not a company that's struggling. I don't know why everybody's like, they have to buy Kroger to compete. No, they don't. They're already competing against all of these companies and they're doing it well.
They have such a stronghold on the wholesale market. Like, yeah.
Well, yeah. And people forget they're not just food, although a lot of people go there for that. Their house and beauty stuff is huge for them. They, you know, they're one of the biggest diamond retailers in the country.
Get
people
out of town.
Buy engagement rings at Costco. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. They buy their outdoor furniture.
The more you know.
I know. So they're much bigger than what is just food, even though food is a big component. But I think they sell like 100 million like rotisserie chickens a year, something crazy. There's all these crazy numbers. None of that is going to change. I'm not like oblivious to the threat of Amazon with Whole Foods, obviously. But Costco has the strong brand and they have great buyers and products. Mm-hmm. And people love the value that they get when they go there.
And they have name brands there.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Which is also, again, different. I know a lot of people were looking into, you know, or thinking, oh, I shouldn't own Kraft or Mondelez or Treehouse Foods or Tyson's, any of the ones that do prepared foods at grocery stores because of the Amazon deal. Well, all those brands already sell on Amazon. Like, they're already selling on Prime.
Right.
You can get stuff like Kraft macaroni and cheese delivered to you already.
Right.
They don't sell that in Whole Foods. They just don't. So, I mean, Kraft will, I'm sure, has some products at Whole Foods that I don't even know about. But Treehouse,
that's
like
true.
A lot of these brands, you know, they don't do the organic stuff and it's not being sold at Whole Foods anyways right now.
Well, this makes me wonder if Whole Foods products will now find their way onto Amazon Fresh, which is their
I don't know, that's a whole
delivery.
Right.
Thing,
I'm sure they will. They have to.
I'm not sure how successful that is. But I actually after I had like read news of the deal, I really wanted to try. But it's expensive.
Yeah. I don't know. They're still rolling that out.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't think it's in Chicago yet. Is it?
I don't know.
Question mark.
I don't know.
I will look that
up.
We have a lot of
there's
so
a lot
many
of distribution centers here, though. So
yeah.
I don't know. But this is also one of the reasons they're getting Whole Foods, because then they can roll the fresh stuff out like easily. Now, another company investors should keep an eye on is Sprouts Farmers Market, which is a direct competitor of Whole Foods. Their ticker is SFM. They have 268 stores, so they're smaller in 15 states. In the first quarter, their comps were up 1.1% year over year, and their two-year comps were up 5.9%. They did raise sales and EPS guidance because things are going pretty good for them. And I noticed in some of their markets, specifically in Denver, I saw that they had recently partnered with Amazon. Amazon has been opening these big distribution facilities where they can do the 1 to 2 hour delivery now in the major metropolitan areas. And Sprouts is partnering with Amazon already to do this. This is before the Whole Foods announcement.
Oh.
So I don't know where that's going to stand. They probably have contracts already signed or whatever. But they're basically doing what Whole Foods is going to be doing for Amazon directly.
Gotcha.
Amazon's owning them. So I'm not sure what, you know, where Sprouts is going to end up. I don't think I'd like to own this stock right here because I don't know if they're, you know, they are competing already right now with Whole Foods in general. They are getting the delivery aspect by partnering with Amazon, but I don't know. Things are just kind of up in the air, I feel, for Sprouts. But their ticker again is SFM, and people might want to keep it on their list if they're thinking about this area and as one to watch going forward here, because this merger has to go through. Then, as you said, it's going to be a while they do the synergies and figure out the whole strategy. And in the meantime, Sprouts is going to keep doing its own business. So, and 268 stores, they keep opening many new stores every quarter. You know, they're still in the game there too. So that's one to keep in mind. But yeah, like there's just, we could go on and on about like a lot of other areas. We're not really talking about Kroger. I guess we could, but to me, I don't
know how bad they're doing, but
yeah,
it's Kroger.
I don't like the supermarket chains in general because of their low margin business. It just is, even before this announcement. But I don't know. Like, and then even Walmart, they're going about their own thing.
And yeah, you know,
they're the largest supermarket in just the United States is Walmart. Yeah. So, and I don't believe that that market crosses over. Walmart tried to do urban Walmarts, which were smaller stores in urban areas, and they had to close them down. And I think they're operating only one here in Chicago still, but most areas where they've tried that concept, they were smaller stores with just food. They shut them
down.
Didn't
really work.
Yeah. So they couldn't compete there. So if you're looking for an area to invest in, I feel like Costco is the leader and still dominant with that brand. Their ticker is COST. I would be keeping that on my watch list. I'm watching the Blue Apron IPO.
I don't like it.
Okay. But we'll be watching that one. That ticker is APRN. Sprouts, I personally would stay away from. SFM is that ticker. RH, no. And again, I own RH, but no, nothing's happening with that one. Kroger, we don't really like. That ticker is KR. I would stay away from that one. And I think if you want to play this space, you obviously have to be in Amazon. I do own it in my personal portfolio, like I said. But they are the big player now. There's no doubt about it. So if you want to own other than Walmart, which is the largest grocery store chain, then I would say to still, it's not too late to get into Amazon. AMZN, if you don't already know, is the ticker. Someone might have just woke up or something. But so yeah, I don't know. This is an interesting space though. And Grub, I forgot them. Grubhub, the ticker is Grub. They will also face some challenges, but I feel like it's from other people. We were talking about that Postmates. Yeah, that's an app that also does, it's like the Uber of delivery. You can also get food delivered through that.
Food delivery, you can get like things from Michael, like literally everything delivered.
Anything delivered from them. And that is a competitor against Grubhub as well.
It's really big here. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
And they're then not, there's Seamless, but I think that, is that owned by Grubhub? And
I think so.
DoorDash is another popular one that I use.
Yes, you're right. I've seen DoorDash around at restaurants.
I like that one.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, this area is very fluid right now, but this was a good conversation. We'll be keeping an eye on, and maybe we'll be proven wrong. Maybe next week we'll hear about something else going down, and then I'll get all these tweets saying, you were wrong, Tracy. We told you they were merging. It'll be interesting if they do. So stay tuned in this area. If you want to hear all of our other podcasts, please do check them out on Apple Podcasts and on SoundCloud and subscribe over there so that you make sure you get them every week. And we'll be back to talk more about food. There's a whole nother area we didn't even cover. I'm going to get to that, the weight loss kind of diet area and fitness. That's super hot too. All this food talk is interesting. So we'll be revisiting it. So be sure to check us out, and I'll see you again next time.